is going to guide them in all truth. The Holy Spirit is going to bring about transformation in their lives so that they will be new men and new women, fruitfulness. The Holy Spirit's going to bring gifting upon them. And the Holy Spirit is going to empower them for ministry. How will they go and make disciples of all nations? Well, they're not going to be alone. They're going to have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And that Holy Spirit is going to empower them in ways that they never thought possible when it came to spreading the good news of Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit has come. We call this event Pentecost. And when this event happened, crowds of people showed up. They wondered what in the world was going on. And Peter, he speaks up. And he brings his first sermon ever on that very day. And in that sermon, if you look through the book of Acts, that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Verses 14 to 41. Let's see, if you want to follow along in your pew Bible, that's page 1692. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. In this book, one-third of it is preaching. If you look at all the words and sentences of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, one-third of it is sermons. The big deal is the disciples preaching, teaching the word, witnessing to the people. And this preaching established and grew the church by leaps and bounds. We're not going to look at the whole sermon from Peter today. We're going to look at the first section. The first third of it, like I said, is Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21. So let us pray, and we're going to see how the Holy Spirit guided Peter to tell people about the good news. So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word, and Lord, we ask that today, you continue to work down deep in our hearts with your word. Lord, we pray that your word makes it into every nook and cranny of our hearts so that we see the truth about who you are, about your son Jesus, and especially today about the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. A miraculous event has taken place. The disciples, by God's power, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were speaking about the wonders of God in the languages of people from all over the place. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and others from all around the world. And in these other languages, they were praising God, I'm sure, for His majesty, for His mighty hand, for His outstretched arm, the wonderful and great things that God has done. In doing so, they are letting everyone who has come to see what's going on, letting them know that God is the God who saves. And now Peter, he gets up and he is going to explain this sign to them. And he tells them to listen carefully. Listen carefully to what I say. The reason he says this is because when you listen carefully to God's word, you will receive them in your heart. And when God's word is deep down in your heart, when you've listened carefully, the word gets in your heart, it changes you. It changes you. It brings about new life. And Peter's hope was that it would bring about new life in the crowds that have come to see what's going on. Now that he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, he wants to see the nations come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He wants to clear things up first, though. Right off the bat, he lets them know that these men, they are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. Things are not as they appear. You know, my wife and I, we moved to a new city, into Des Moines, and we started going to a new church. And we really, really liked the church. We decided that we were going to join. And it was kind of humorous. Our first meeting, when we met with the pastor and some of the elders, and we had other people that were joining the church when we were joining, they told us right off the bat, right at the beginning, you know what? Our building looks a little bit suspect. It didn't look like a traditional church. Our building might look a little suspect, but just so you know, right off the beginning, right off the start, we are not a cult. I knew they weren't because I went to their website and I found out that they were part of the Reformed Church. And I saw that they were Trinitarian. They believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They believed that Jesus was the only way to salvation and that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And I knew that it was okay, but I thought it was humorous that they had to stop and say, hey, you know, we're not a cult. We're nothing weird. This is a community, Bible-believing, truth-telling church. Peter, right at the beginning here, he's got to let them know, hey, you know what? Maybe for some of your friends it's beer 30, but it's not beer 30 for us. We're not drunk. They didn't get an early start to the day. And that's not the answer today. Something else has been poured out. Something else has been poured out. And it wasn't a cold one. Instead, Peter lets them know that there were some words spoken by the prophet Joel. And the Jewish people that had gathered around them that day, they would have known these words and they would have been living in expectation of these words, that what's described by the prophet Joel was going to happen someday. And Peter is letting them know that today is the day. Today is the day when we see the beginning of the fulfillment of what Joel the prophet has promised. We want to take a note here. Peter's sermon is filled with Scripture. In the section that we're looking at today, the rest of this passage is from Joel the prophet in the Old Testament. And as you go along through the rest of his sermon, we're not going to look at all of this today, but if you do later on today, you'll see that Psalm 16 and Psalm 110 are also mentioned. If, in fact, most of the words that Peter uses in his first sermon are from the Old Testament. Scripture is important. And Peter uses Scripture to explain the truth. As Christians, we are called to do the same, to use Scripture to explain the truth. If we want truth, if we want to be able to explain the truth, we need to seek the truth of God's holy word. And for us, this is how I see it. The word of God, Scripture, is our only rule for faith and life. Our only rule for faith and life. Not ABC, not NBC, not CBS, not Fox or TikTok, or I still call it Twitter, but everybody calls it X now instead. The truth about faith and life comes from God's holy word, from his scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Peter starts bringing the words of the prophet Joel. He says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Well, the first thing out of that section that sticks out at me, what are the last days? What are the last days? I think that the last days are the whole messianic period. The whole messianic period. So the last days started at Pentecost. And the last days are going to end at Jesus' return. So being in the last days, we are in the last days. Here on at Pentecost, it's the beginning of the last days. You think about all of the Christians throughout history, they were in the last days. You think about your moms, dads, grandmas, those that have been faithful to the end, they lived in the last days, and you too are living in the last days. Each generation of the church lives in expectation of Jesus' return. Paul lived with expectation that Jesus would return. When I talk with people in the nursing homes, they are living with expectation that Jesus will return at any moment. And we too live with expectation that Jesus is going to return. We are living in the last days. And in the last days, in this messianic period, God will pour out his Holy Spirit on all people. Once, the Holy Spirit was just for a few. The prophets, like Moses and others, would get the Holy Spirit. But now the Holy Spirit in these last days are offered to all. All who repent, who put their faith in Christ, and trust in Jesus, all of them have the Holy Spirit. All who confess that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. The Holy Spirit poured out. You know, when I was a kid, my parents would always buy the big 2 liters of soda. And, you'd get a nice looking tumbler, nice glass. You'd fill that up with ice. And then, you know, as a little kid, I get that big 2 liter out and I'd take the cap off. And I'd pour it into my glass, and I didn't quite have it down yet. So I'd pour it in, and man, it'd start fizzing up. And it'd fizz up over the glass, onto the table. And it was just like an explosion of flavor. I'd move my glass a little bit, and then I'd put my face down on the table and start slurping up all that soda. I didn't want any of it to go away. And then I'd move on to the glass. I could put a little bit more in there and fill it up, so, you know, just to the top. And, oh, man, all of that fizz coming alive. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on us so that our glasses are overflowing and His power is just laying out on the table in front of us. Not only do the disciples on that day receive saving grace, but they also receive the Holy Spirit's power. They are now enabled and empowered for ministry. So that Peter could get up and tell the whole crowd with passion and with fervor that the Holy Spirit has come today. This is what Jesus had promised. The day has come. And look, all the other disciples that are speaking in other languages, the languages of all the nations that are gathered there that day, that is a sign. That's a sign that the Holy Spirit has come. This scripture from Joel is being fulfilled. But this is just the beginning. So out of that passage, that was the first thing. The last days are here. The second thing, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. If we were to jump ahead to Acts 21, we hear about Philip the evangelist. He was one of the original seven deacons. He has four unmarried daughters. And what do? They prophesy. And third on here, we hear about young men seeing visions. And again, we can jump ahead to Acts chapter 9. There's a fellow named Ananias, and he has a vision. He is sent to Straight Street. And when he gets there, he's going to find a persecutor of Christians. He's going to find a fellow named Saul or Paul. And he's going to lay hands on him, and his blindness is going to go away. And it's going to be like scales fall off of his eyes. And this Paul character, he is going to go on missionary journeys all across the known world at that time and spread the good news of Jesus. So, sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young men are going to see visions. And even old men will dream dreams. We can jump ahead to Acts 16. And Paul has a dream of the Macedonian man. And he gets insight about what he is called to do next on his missionary journeys. Peter's letting them know that these words from the prophet Joel, they are coming to pass, and it is getting started. Peter continues in verse 18. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Men, women, young, old, God's people will be engaged by the Spirit of God so that they will see the greatness of Jesus. They will see Jesus' wonderful work. They will see God's eternal plan and want to be a part of it. And now, because men and women alike and people from all nations are going to receive the Holy Spirit, they are going to be able to pray just like the priests in the Old Testament were able to pray. They don't need a mediator anymore. They can pray right to the Father through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're going to have union with God through Jesus. They're going to have a relationship with God through Jesus by the power of the Spirit. They are going to be connected to our awesome and wonderful Trinitarian God, all by the work of the Holy Spirit in them. This is what every Christian from this point on receives the Holy Spirit so that they can pray like priests, like the priests of the Old Testament, so that none of us needs a mediator between us and God. We have direct connection. We have direct relationship. The Holy Spirit has come. What's happening at Pentecost also points ahead. And I'm going to call these the last of the last days. Because we see some stuff here in Joel that hasn't come to pass yet. In verse 19 and 20, it says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. I think Peter here is talking about the final cosmic events. He's talking about the apocalyptic events, the kinds of things that we read in the book of Revelation. All of this happening before the great and glorious day of the Lord Jesus' return. And I'm going to read to you just a little bit of Revelation chapter 6. This is Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. God is on the move, Peter lets the people know. Wake up, get real, listen carefully. The time is now. It has been fulfilled. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Israel, this is the day that we have been waiting for. And finally, in verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, Peter invites them to call on Jesus. He is the Lord. Call on the Lord Jesus, Jew, Gentile, all. In faith, repent, be baptized. Jew, Gentile, men, women, young, old, rich, poor, everyone, call on the name of the Lord. Maybe you haven't been convinced in the past, but you're convinced today. Call on Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. And for those of you that are among the faithful, those of you that already have that blessed assurance that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, know that the same Holy Spirit that was given to the disciples on this day, the same Holy Spirit that Peter received, along with the other 120 that received it there right at Pentecost, and the thousands that joined them that day, know that you have the same Holy Spirit in you. And you have also been given saving grace and enabling grace. Every one of us with faith, ordinary men and women, imperfect, unworthy sinners, just like them, we have received the Holy Spirit. And we are called, just like them, to take part in advancing the kingdom. So we have no reason to be scared or timid or unsure about what to say. We have the Holy Spirit in us, just as they did. And you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we're in situations, maybe with family, maybe with neighbors, maybe with coworkers, maybe with schoolmates, don't be shy. You're not alone. The wonderful and awesome power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Don't be afraid to act. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for the wonderful, awesome, enabling power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've given us gifts to use, and you've given us mouths that we can open so we can share the good news. Lord, help us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for giving that grace to us too. We ask for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is number 147, How Great Thou Art.